Yeah!
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Good day.
Back in the days I knew rap would never die. I used to listen to Awesome 2 on WHBI. I used to hear all kind of rap groups before sampling loops. Rappers wore bell-bottom lease suits. Me and Kenny couldn't afford that.
Welcome to the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry here with Margaret Gray. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, everyone.
And we also have General Galen Shaw.
Yes, yeah, good morning.
And Bud Dickman.
Good morning.
And Robert Leonard.
Good morning.
Welcome to our podcast. It is Thursday, and I'm looking at this guy, the guy that's bugging me, you know.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
The guy that stands next to that young man Foley, the guy with a hood, and he's got the head tilted like the RCA Victor dog.
Oh, that animal, yes. That is what the animal looks like.
I hope they find this piece of garbage, and they hang this guy up upside down, gutted.
Guys, they just sound like that guy Mussolini and everything.
Yeah, what do you want this guy to be, Mussolini?
Who's Mussolini?
I mean,
we're talking about Benito Mussolini,
It's not Mussolini.
Yes, it is. Technically, that is the French.
Oh, my God.
You knock it off with the French, Mussolini.
Anyway, they hung that guy upside down.
Yeah, they hung him upside down. I thought that's what they ought to do. Hang that guy, when I look at that guy with the tilted head and he's wearing the black, and he's from England, he's some piece of shit from London, excuse me for saying, I mean, nothing against our good, close, personal friends in England, man, who we dig, and...
Well, don't start licking their ass too tight, you never know, now, can I get some of that water?
Here you go, General.
You never know.
You had to drink a glass of water to say you never know.
Yes, I did, okay? What do you have to do to get your lips moving?
Oh!
Excuse me.
Hold on, Margaret. Sit down. We're just starting the show.
Do I have to sit here and listen to that?
Oh, Margaret, come on.
What did I say? All I said was, what do you have to do to get your lips moving?
That can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. Don't say it, bud.
Well, I'm just going to say about the lips moving.
Do you see my lips moving?
Get off of his nose, Margaret.
How dare you say the words, get off of his nose, Margaret? Jesus.
Jesus, Phil. You're talking to a lady.
You go ahead and laugh it up, funny boy.
Oh, stop. What are you doing now?
I'm looking to see if they got the dark roast espresso for you, woo.
Thank you very much, Margaret, but they did.
You see what I'm doing?
Yeah, I understand that. We can do that before the show. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm always taking care of Mr. Henry's coffee.
Oh, look at he's crying. What, did I squeeze your nose too tight?
Yeah, you're the one that said you wanted to climb on it.
Oh, baby. Next time the whole thing comes off, I cut it off and feed it to my goldfish. Understand?
You understand?
I understand.
Jesus, that was right out of Chinatown.
Yes, it was. Right out of Chinatown. Anyway, welcome to the show. Wow. Boy, oh boy.
Well, Phil, you bring this upon yourself and the entire assembled group of people here. Never mind. I'm bored with what I'm saying.
You bore yourself often?
No, I don't. No, I don't bore myself. What is that supposed to mean?
Take it easy, will you? For God's sake, can I read this? Eric Holder is in... I don't want to read the Eric Holder thing yet, bud. Thank you. I want to talk about that thing that was standing next to Foley. Who is that guy?
They don't know yet, Miss Manny, but they said, like I said, it comes from London. Yeah, it comes from London, and it had a London accent.
Well, they think it's British. I mean, they think he's British.
Yes, why can't we give a human being the dignity of calling him he or she?
I'm not giving that thing any dignity. That guy cut that young man's head off. Do you understand what you got to be to do something like that? You have to be a pure psychopath.
All right, Phil, we know all about the psychopath.
Well, I'm saying it again, okay? You got to be somebody with no human empathy at all. You got to be someone... I think that guy found the perfect job for himself. He got to join up with this ISIS, whatever the hell they are. They're just another gang. They're just another gang, a Middle Eastern gang of cutthroats. And these guys want to impose... Do you understand they're beheading children? Did you hear about that one?
Who is?
This ISIS. I just heard a guy saying that there's a guy who is an Iraqi national who's been in communication with people in Iraq... who was speaking with a newsman from CNN who said that children are being targeted.
Now, you use the word beheading. Are you kidding, Phil? Because it's not very funny.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah. Now, do you call that a humanitarian problem? Do you call that a problem that would necessitate the intervention of foreign powers? Let me tell you something, man. We saw it happen in NATO, and we saw it happen in the Balkan states with NATO in the 90s, and it's happened from time to time throughout history when neighboring states get together and say, we got to stop what's going on in there. It happened in Africa in the late 70s with Idi Amin, where the neighboring states of Kenya and others decided, okay, enough's enough with this fat slob. Let's get in, kick ass, take names. And they had to drive his ass out of there. Remember that guy?
Who?
Idi Amin.
Now what? Oh, Idi Amin. That guy was a big fat tub of guts. Wow.
Well, they did the film about Idi Amin. It was called The King of Scotland with Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, I remember that one. We saw that one. Oh, was that Idi Amin?
Yes, that was Idi Amin. That's who Forrest Whitaker was playing. The King of Scotland. He was the Emperor of... He had about 9 million titles, this guy. And he was a real... He was a big, fat lummox of a dictator. That's what this guy did. You know, Africa, any newly reorganizing area of the world where they had once been under the yoke of a foreign power. And Africa, I don't care. You can either get educated or not. You can either sit there and be dumb or not. But Africa and the slave trade destroyed Africa's development. Africa was on its way. It was developing as a region of the world along the same lines that the rest of the world had. Asia, North America, etc. And people can argue the same thing. They can say, well, what did the dissemination of the Native Americans do to North America? Well, what did it do to the progression of Native tribes? It basically destroyed them.
Well, Phil, that is a crime in and of itself. Would you not agree?
I would say yes. Technically, yes. However, you have to see these things in the context of the historical setting that they took place. You have to see. You can't go back and look at people.
No, hold on for a minute. You just said a mouthful there, friend. You said yes. Are you telling me that the United States cavalry, you know...
Come on, Jerry, you can talk about the cavalry and everything.
That was the part of the United States Army. Have a little bit of respect.
You know something, General? I find it to be very un...
Excuse me, but I'm not finished. Are you trying to tell me that the United States...
Hey, General, can I just... Do you got to stick the finger up in the air and tell me?
Yeah, I know. He thinks he's... What do you think? You're Franklin Roosevelt at the convention there in the 19...
Franklin Roosevelt? That would be more like... That'd be more like John... what's the guy? John Bryan Powers or something. Who's the guy that freed the slaves?
John Brown.
Okay, Phil. Good for you. Ding, ding. Yay. You know the guy's name, John Brown.
Okay, but what are you trying to say?
The guys that gave the speech with the finger in the air weren't around in the 20th century. I'm saying the last guy to stick his finger in the air had to be John Brown.
Well, what about William Jennings Bryan or some of those guys? You saying the guys that used to gesticulate?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, how come they used to do that?
Because they wanted people to see them. In the old days of speech making...
You know you're getting way off the point.
Yes, we are getting... What are you saying about the cavalry?
Well, what about the guy with a finger in the ear?
I can't keep track of all this shit.
Mr. Henry, why don't you take a break, and then you figure it all out?
I'm not taking a break until we have to take the break. We'll get to the finger in the air in a minute. Okay?
Get to the finger in the air in a minute. Woo-hoo! Get a load of this guy, boy. That stuff just rolls off your tongue, that filth, doesn't it?
I've been meaning to speak to you about that, Phil. You use an awful lot of four-letter words, and now the finger in the air.
The finger? What?
Not in the context that... I know you're talking about speech making. Never mind.
Yeah. So what about the cavalry?
I'm saying that the United States cavalry...
God damn it, get me some water.
I'm saying the United States cavalry did its duty as the United States Army, protecting the settlers as they moved into the Wild West.
I mean, I'm just telling you. If you're talking about the development of a people... The development in the case of Africa of an entire continent, because it was a continent that was very, very populated. North America was not. The reason being, North America was at the very tail end of man's migration from the birth of man in Africa to the last of us migrating to the north and to the east. The very last of us finally made the final rounds, if you will, in 1000 AD. It was 1000 AD or 1100 AD that we finally settled in Micronesia. And that would be the Pacific, okay? So we went from Africa heading to the east.
What do we go east for?
Because you can't go west, man. It's nothing but ocean.
Oh.
Yeah, the natural thing to do was to follow the landmass. And
so that was, they couldn't build a boat?
Then not early on, man. I mean, we were just a migratory people walking around. We weren't building boats. We might be fishing, you know, and we might have had a canoe, but we didn't have boats that were going to go across the ocean.
Okay, so what are you talking about? How far back?
Bud, we're talking about 7 million years ago when the first hominid began to... Well, I just said hominid.
Yes.
You know what? Never mind, man. I'll talk about this shit with you later. All I'm trying to tell you is, yeah, stuff happens, okay? Shit happens, and whenever it happens, it has an effect on the people and on the land itself. Slavery in Africa, the destruction, essentially, of Native American culture. Now, to label it a crime from the present tense, I suppose, is accurate. But you can't look 500 years, 300 years, 200 years into the past and judge a people and call them criminal based upon today's knowledge. You have to be there with them.
Well, Phil, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew what it was you were saying. Because the United States cavalry...
What is it with you and the cavalry?
What do you mean, what is it with me and the cavalry?
Yeah, what do you want to do? Go all blowing a horn and everything?
Yeah, hey, what about that, General? You ever blow a horn? Did I ever blow a horn? Are you ready for these guys? You better say something, Henry. You better give me something before I go after this guy. And if he thinks Margaret being on his nose was a bad thing...
All right, do you mind?
Hold on. What are you guys, mocking the General?
What are you talking about, a cavalry?
That was the primary American military force in the West. It was a highly mobile force. They needed that. They needed a highly mobile force. It wasn't going to do to have a bunch of soldiers on foot way out in the West that you know, and you're having to cover God knows how many thousands of square miles. You had to have, today, they would be soldiers with vehicles, man. You know,
what do you, like a Jeep?
Yeah, Jeeps, Humvees, all that shit. Helicopters, all kinds of stuff. Wherever the mobility is most needed, that's what they would... But back in the day, the only thing they had was a horse.
That's the only thing they had, huh?
Well, Bud, what did you think? They had cars?
Hickman, we're talking about the cavalry in the 19th century. Wow! Even you should know that.
Well... Yeah, I do.
But, you know, there are days when I think you're just trying to fuck with all of us. And on those days, those are the days that I think, murder, maybe a life in prison is not so bad. I mean, I'm an old guy now. It would only be a few years, and then maybe they let me out on good behavior. Maybe I ought to just go ahead and end your life. What do you think of that?
Are you serious? God damn, man, he's all crying and stuff.
No, I'm not. But why don't you just give it a rest, okay? We'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. With more of this Marvelosity, man. We got to get the music set up, Bud, and then you want what?
I want to look into the sound effects. Let's just keep that between you, me, and Baby Makes Three.
Well, what is that supposed to... What do you mean, Baby Makes Three?
It's a saying, General, all right? It doesn't mean anything. I just want Phil to keep that between you, me, and Baby Makes Three.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. This is... Is this the Color Morale? No, this is Capture the Crown and I Hate You. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Jesus H. Christ.
Stick around, we got Bob Bacon with traffic here in just a second on the Phil Henry Show because, there is traffic happening. Bob Bacon, what's it looking like out there?
Hey, thanks, Rob. Sir, we got a lot of traffic out here. This is outside of the traffic area, but inside of the freeway. And we got my cars that have pulled over to the right side. If you go out here to the east side, you see the west side roll around the town. And there is Highway 51 and Highway 61 revisited. And we go up here to the mountain side and down that Black Mountain side. Bob Bacon with the traffic.
Margaret Gray reminding you that the world of Phil Henry, truth is our bitch, an explosion of weird, will be at the Irvine Improv on September the 11th. Make sure you're there. Be there or be square. Don't miss this amazing one-man tour de force, Phil Henry. This guy is way... If you want to see mental illness, well, never mind.
Get your tickets at the Irvine Improv, like the web center or whatever it's called.
The website. Web center. To the crown.
Does that mean me?
What's that?
Does that mean me?
Oh, General, what do you think? You're in Rebel Without a Cause. Does that mean me?
That is Capture the Crown, and I hate you. And I think you can take that with us, you know, a grain of salt. I hate, that means I love you. That's, I'm sure.
No. It does. They even called a guy an F-word in there.
They did. That is not just deathcore. That's I hate you core. That's Capture the Crown. All right, what do we got going on here? Because, General, you were pissed off.
I heard the bugle, and I'll say it again. Does that mean me? Because I'm telling you, friend, all bets are off if it does.
All right, hold on for a minute. What was the point here, Margaret, in bringing that on?
The point is simply that, as the General is talking about these things...
Yeah, General, that's what you're talking about and everything.
What do you mean, that's what I'm talking about? Are you guys mental? I was talking about the United States Cavalry and the Jesus H.
Knock it off. What's the point?
Well, why don't you just get out and blow your horn, General? I mean, you know, you're talking about the cavalry and everything.
Yeah, General, get out there and blow the horn, you know.
Huh? Well, why don't you just go ahead and park it on Dickman's nose?
I beg your pardon.
Margaret, you walked right into that one.
I beg your pardon.
I said, Margaret, you want to give me a hard time... making fun of all the things about the cavalry and a guy... You know what? That brings a tear to my eye. You see? Yeah! I hear that, and you better believe I'm going to go in. I'll kick ass and take names.
Is that the guy? You see this guy standing there? Who is that man?
What?
Is that that piece of garbage that killed that guy? They just showed some stupid-looking... Maybe that's a guy that's being threatened.
No, hold on for a minute. What did you just say?
I said, Margaret... that if you think that I ought to get that, that I ought to be blowing a horn, forget it.
Talk about you parking it on my nose.
That's what I thought you said. Excuse me. I have to use the bathroom. I may be in there for a while because of these comments. I think I have loose stool.
God damn, man.
What do you got to do that for?
You know what? Blame him.
Jesus.
Blame you? The General didn't do anything.
Yeah, he did. I'll talk about her parking on my nose.
Listen, pal. You're the one that brought the bugle into it, and when you bring the bugle into anything, friend, you're on the fighting side of me.
Yeah.
Wow, get a load of you dismissing me like I'm somebody's bitch out in the yard, and you just sent me to go ahead and get another set. God damn it.
All right, knock it off with that horn, man, before somebody gets hurt. All right?
What are you talking about?
Before I start swinging on somebody. Thank you very much, Bob, for the traffic. That was great. Meanwhile, we have Eric Holder in Ferguson, and Eric Holder saying Ferguson, emblematic of deeper tensions across the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said on Thursday the unrest the country has witnessed here over the past 2 weeks has been emblematic of deeper issues and deeper problems. And I don't think that any reasonable person can disagree with that. I could be wrong, but then again, you know, I've been wrong before. What do you want from me? All right, let's get Frank Gray in here, who is an entertainment attorney, doesn't know a whole lot about civil rights law, doesn't know a whole lot, I would say, about criminal law, doesn't know a whole lot about anything that we're talking about. But we're going to get Frank in because he's the only lawyer that we could wake up this early in the morning. Frank, how you doing?
I'm great, young man. How are you?
Great.
I better than Custer.
You're better than Custer.
Frank, I'm here. Frank, I was in the bathroom. I had runny stool.
I know. He was talking about having runny stool. God damn it to hell.
All right. Frank.
No, wait a minute. Is Margaret still there? Let me talk to my wife. Is he there?
Margaret.
Yes, Frank.
Marcus, why do you have to go on about the runny stool? And...
because of the fact that Dickman said, why didn't I park it on his nose? And the general said that I was sucking a horn. I forget.
No, no. I was listening to the whole show as I was driving around out here. And I heard what this man, what the general said. And she said that...
I don't like being called she.
Will you hold on for a minute?
Oh, is that...
Nothing. Go ahead.
She said that the horn is emblematic of the charge of the bugleman. Okay? And then you came back, and then she said about you parking it on Dickman's... Forgive me for saying this, darling. You know I love you very much. But if you're going to talk about sticking it on her nose... All bets are off.
I didn't say anything of the sort, Frank. I said that be grateful. I was.
I know what you did. You went after her nose.
Yes, I did.
Well, that's what caused the problem.
That didn't cause the problem of someone telling me to stick it on his...
I understand that, but you walked right into it. You got to understand, Phil's show, like any other show, you tee it up, someone's going to step up and hit it out. You're the one that put the ball on the tee. You got a bunch of guys standing around with three woods, and some of them with drivers.
What are we talking about now?
Oh, man, this guy's dumber than he looks. Jesus, see you later.
Talking about your wife?
Yes.
You know something? I think Frank is getting better.
Yeah, he is. He's beginning to get his genders right. So we'll have no more talk here about anybody teeing one up.
Talk about it, teed it up on my nose.
I didn't say I teed it up on your nose. Forget about it, bud. You wish. It'll be the best day of your life if I ever was so degenerate and so wanting in morality and so absolutely empty of any real decent impulse that I decided to rest my you-know-what on your...
On my nose?
Yes.
Jesus, boy, that's about as close as you've ever come to saying that you'd actually consider that.
To prove a point, maybe I would.
All right, I don't want to have any more talk of this, and I don't want to even... I sure as hell don't want to see it.
How dare you think that would be gross?
Yeah, it would be gross.
May I say something?
No, you may not. No, you may not. Thanks a lot, Frank. Attorney General Eric Holder said on Thursday that the unrest of the country is... We were going to talk to Frank about this, right?
Well, I guess Frank's gone, okay?
Attorney General Eric Holder said on Thursday the unrest the country has witnessed here over the past 2 weeks was emblematic of deeper problems that exist across the nation, where a corrosive mistrust exists in certain places between the police and the people they are meant to serve, and I am really getting into a very tone of voice that...
Give me that. I'll read it, Phil. Attorney, just excuse me. Attorney General...
Here, I'll do it. Attorney General...
I got it, man. Give me that.
You know something? I'm probably the guy that ought to read that because the three of you, all three of you people together wouldn't make one decent midget. Think that's funny, huh?
Give me that. And don't use that word. That's a very, very offensive word.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I love Phil. He's the Martin Luther King of the little tiny people.
No, you can't say little tiny people because that's also offensive.
The little people. God damn you, Dick. Sorry, I farted by mistake.
Get out of here. Turn that fan on. Oh, Jesus. What did you eat last night, man?
I had a few Brussels sprouts.
A few, bud? A few Brussels sprouts with you means death to millions.
Look at this. Attorney General Eric Holder. History simmers beneath the surface in more communities than just Ferguson. Now, this is a very, very, very important statement. Forget about it was Eric Holder, and all kinds of people don't like him because he's one of Obama's guys, and there's all kinds of stupid people. He's right. History. One day after meeting with the family of Michael Brown, the unarmed black teenager who was shot and killed by a police officer on August 9th, Mr. Holder vowed that the Justice Department will continue to stand with Ferguson. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will join us. Thank you very much, Jay, for the late notice arrival. We lost our attorney, Frank Gray, because his gender confusion, while it is getting better, it's still wrecked.
Right, sure, I understand it, Phil. Thank you very much.
Listen, Jay, this is General Shaw. Just to kick things off, how do you think the police, the job that the police are doing, even though you're a... Yeah, you know, it really is difficult.
General, did you want to ask me a question, or do you want to review what the Citizens Auxiliary Police does?
Does?
I'm sorry, I mean does. Do you want to review that, or what do you want to do?
I want to say it's very unusual for me to be sitting here with a straight face talking to a man who doesn't... Here, you do it.
I'll do it. Jay, how do you think the police... By the way, Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a volunteer police organization. We can argue, Jay, about whether you guys are legitimate or not. You believe you are, with the constitutional right to citizen's arrest backing you up. However, you have detained people. You have at times transported people to your, quote, substation. You have deigned to frisk people, to actually put your hands on people. Not only that, to go down into their underwear and to go up into their nostrils. And you think that's all protected by the Constitution.
You said it, man. Your lips to God's ears. And
well, what does that mean? I'm back, by the way. What does that mean?
Did you get the runny diarrhea taken care of?
Excuse me, I'm leaving.
Miss Gray, she's still there?
No, she walked out. You know, Margaret, you're going to have to suck it up.
I want in on this. What does that mean exactly, that you are, that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is entitled to all of this by way of the Constitution?
Well, because the right of citizen's arrest, Miss Gray, gives us a right to be, to have the right. I don't know what else you want me to say. We believe that we have the right to detain if need be. Now, I'm not saying that I run around with a police special. I don't run around with a billy stick, the PR-24. I don't run around with handcuffs. I don't run around with a PR-24. Shit.
You don't run around with police stuff.
I don't run around with police stuff. No, I don't. And so, that having been said, as Phil likes to say, he doesn't like anybody saying just saying, but he's always saying that have been said, you know.
Yeah, you're saying that, Mr. You know, you like anybody saying just saying.
Okay, enough said. Good point. Stick to the point here, though. We are talking about Ferguson. What is your opinion of what's going on in Ferguson?
Well, right now, I'm backing up my Citizens Auxiliary Police, because Ms. Gray finds it. The credulity, excuse me.
Yes, I am incredulous, as is General Shaw, because I don't think you have the right to detain. If you tried to detain me or any member of my family from making my way toward my appointed rounds, whatever those may be, I can assure you that there would be a very serious problem. My husband's an attorney, and I would bring charges forthwith.
All right, Miss Gray, but I don't have any reason. I mean, why would you threaten me?
Let's take this off of the confrontational tack that we're on here. Let's get to the point of Ferguson. Jay has had some experience in dealing with crowds of people. Jay, what was the last time you dealt with a significant-sized crowd, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and what was the end result?
Well, Phil, you probably remember we were down a couple of these banks that were closing as a result of the bank failures back in 2008. We had done something that's called a spread out, and I think you mentioned that. We were on the Alice Carboni. By the way, Alice Carboni podcast going to be tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Alice Carboni interviewed our own Phil Hendry. Listen to Coffee with Alice tomorrow.
Right, and I think at that time...
Well, Jay joined me in that for a couple of minutes.
Oh, it was Santa, so you were on this interview. Did you address the current problems?
I did. Jesus Christ, Dickman, that is so strong, it's wafting through the phone.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry I did it again. And three Brussels sprouts? You're a lying punk, you know that? Why you say that? It's got to be more than Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, it's piercing the phone. It's coming through the fiber optic right now.
Hey, well, there we go. I'll go and try and do... I'll go get some Beano.
Too late for that, man. Just leave the room. Get a fan in here. Go ahead, Jay.
The situation in the bank failure, we was down at a bank down here in the South Bay where there was bank failure, and a lot of people were making what's called a run on the bank, and so we had to get over there, and we had to begin to spread out. We fanned out. We told people to spread. There's two basic tools that a police officer has, to fan out and get someone to spread, you know, and that's what we did.
All right, so you fanned out and you got it. What do you mean by fan out? I think I know what you mean, but explain to the audience.
What I mean by fan out is when you get to a place as member of Citizens Auxiliary Police and you look around and you got all these officers that are sitting there next to you, you're going to say, well, okay, fan out. Well, you guys stand around here, you're up my rear end. I don't need a lot of guys breathing clam sauce on me. Just fan out, okay? So they fanned out, and some of them fanned out too far, and it took a couple of hours before, we couldn't fire Sub-Commander Gleason, and...
Okay, Jay, I understand. You've got a bunch of guys that it sounds very unprofessional.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry?
If you tell guys to fan out and it takes you 2 hours to go find them, you're not really addressing the problem. The problem's there at the bank.
Yes, the problem was there at the bank, Mr. Henry, and even though I had the guys fan out, we still had people spread. okay?
Jay, I don't think anyone's questioning your profession, your dedication. I think we're questioning your credentials, my credulity, as it pertains to the credential.
Yes, that's all we're saying, Santos. That's all we're saying.
Oh, bull crap. I'm listening to you guys asking me what my... Right, God damn it, man. Dickman had better clean up his act, because it's piercing the phone, it's corroding the phone in my hand.
Dickman's long gone, and we don't smell anything. It might be there at the house.
Hold on. Hey, honey, was that... Oh, shit. My wife.
Isn't she supposed to be working?
Yeah, Phil, she's supposed to... Oh, wow. So you're telling me the schedule of my family... Yeah, she's going to get over to the apple pan in a minute, okay?
Okay. Your wife's a waitress at the Apple Pan?
None of your business. Bye, honey. She leaves that. She walks, after leaving that here in the house, in the kitchen, she walks out to the Apple Pan where she is waitress, yes.
All right, Jay. I just wanted to know, and perhaps when I'm in the South Bay, I'll visit the Apple Pan.
That would be very appreciated. What would be more appreciated if you leave a sizable tip.
All right, well, we understand. Getting back, though, so that's the Apple... I happen to like the Apple Pan.
Oh, that's great. It's glad you like the Apple Pan. Get a load of these guys. Hold on for a minute.
All right, Jay, let's get back...
No, wait, I got to tell my wife. Hey, honey! 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 Hold on, Phil, just wait. Honey! Hey, baby! Oh, she left already. Her car's not here. Who am I yelling at?
I don't know. Who are you yelling at?
Well, Phil...
You're saying, hey, honey, and her car isn't there.
Yeah, she's gone.
Well, then who are you yelling at?
Come on, Santos, wake up, will you?
All right. So I would say that what's going on with Ferguson is pretty good. I'd say there's a lot of different things that they need to make gooder or better. But I'd say what they're doing there, as far as we're concerned, when we tell a guy to spread out or spread, all bets are off. And
all right, hold on for a second, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Dean Wheeler is going to join us along with Jay here in just a moment, and we'll continue our discussion of Ferguson, of Jay's efforts as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to police his neighborhood and others. He's not an official police officer. He is, he is what he is, man. I don't know what it is, man. All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And if you head over to our website right now, you can get half off on all digital download best ofs. Head to the website, philhenryshow.com, and pick up half off, man, on the digital downloads. This week only, man, it's a real, real deal.
Yeah, the Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico.
Of my singing, most people, you know something, you're a lion whore.
I'm a lion whore.
Well, you better not be talking about me.
Margaret, you're the one that called him the name. All right, welcome back, Phil Henry Show. and PhilHenryShow.com. We're going to be joined here in a moment not only by Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, but we also have with us Dean Wheeler. Dean is at his home in Northern California, and Dave Oliva. And Dave is with the... Well, Dave is with nobody. He's with himself. David, first of all, I want to say hello to you. You're in Canyon. You're up there in L.A. Canyon College, right?
Yes, sir. Right now, Mr. Henry, just about ready to go into a break right now, so that's some time to talk to you.
And David, you're studying law enforcement.
Oh, yes, sir. That's right.
And Dean Wheeler in Northern California. Dean, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program.
And Jay Sandus with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So, Jay, let me get back to you. You were saying that as a citizen policeman, and this I think is more to the point, you do have constitutional right to arrest. Now, we're talking about community policing. When it comes to Ferguson, we're talking about the police interacting with the community and coming up with a better way to do things.
I think that's really important. I think that probably Dave, you're taking law enforcement. Is that right?
Well, yes, sir, that's right.
All right, so you probably are studying how to do it and do it good, for the people of wherever that you want to do it.
What are we talking about? This is Dean Wheeler. What are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about the community policing.
All right, well, I have some things to say because I feel that what has happened in Ferguson... Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. Is it okay for him to talk?
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, what are you all... Are you policing this phone conversation?
No, I'm not policing the phone conversation, but Mr. Henry is conducting it.
I appreciate it, Dave. I can control it.
All right. But see, you are studying law enforcement, but I am law enforcement.
No, you're not law enforcement. That's what Mr. Henry was trying to say. You are a community, volunteer community cop, and therefore you don't really have any arrest power.
Yeah. See, I'm going to become a police officer so I can.
All right, I know that you're going to become a police officer, and I know that Jay is a community volunteer police officer, and you, Dean, let's get your point of view.
I'd like to know what your whole situation is, Wheeler, okay? Let's find about you.
Fine, I can tell you all about me. I am a private citizen. I live in Northern California, but I have a different concern. I have a concern for the safety of the individuals that are there in Ferguson and other communities around the city from these gung-ho police officers who would, at the expense of the safety of the very people that they are looking to protect, would roar into a community acting all like they think they're so great, like, you know, what is that?
Turn that off, will you, bud, please?
I thought that'd be very good.
Well, I don't think that when I hear that, I get frightened. And I can assure you, I don't need that.
Let me just say something right now, if I could, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead, Dave.
People keep in mind that this Dave Oliver, he's in school. I'm a real police officer.
No, you're not a real police officer.
All right, so that we don't have an argument, guys, I want you to just state what you... Don't question the credentials of other people.
That's fine, Mr. Henry. I mean, I don't want to question nobody's credentials, but... He says he's a police officer.
I am, because I've got experience.
I just don't want anybody questioning anybody's credentials.
Well, I would say that, like you were saying, Mr. Wheeler, that, you know, like you're concerned with the safety of everybody, and I'm concerned with the safety of everybody, too. You know, I don't want nobody to be harmed, but by the same token, like Mr. Henry likes to say, by the same token, or, you know, be that as it may when he says all that stuff. I think there's a lot of...
Turn that off, bud.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
To me, it sounds like he's trying to make fun of people.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. This is a general show. What are you doing, Dickman?
I hit the button.
That bullcrap hit the button, Dickman. You're doing that on purpose.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I would take the young man's word for it until such time as, I was able to prove it.
Well, what if it was me? What if I was the one blowing the bugle horn, and I was blowing that horn, calling out the neighbors to be aware that there's police in the area, and we could be in some serious trouble? See, this is the thing that makes me nervous. So if I was standing up there, like, you know?
What, you're trying to tell me that you would blow a bugle because you're scared and stuff? Wow.
Yes, I would be scared if the police were in, if the brutal police were around.
I can assure you, sir, with community policing, there would be no brutality. You would be safe. That's why Citizens Auxiliary Police was created, in order to keep the brutality.
Jimmy, get out of here with that horn, okay?
That is good for you.
What do you mean, good for me?
I mean, just to play it.
Bud, if you freelance like that one more time, there's going to be serious problems. Serious problems. Don't hit that button again. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, if that bugle frightens a guy like Dean Wheeler into, you know, getting all scared because the police is coming, I wonder what your trust level is with the police.
My trust level is fine with the police. I think the police do a good job as far as it goes. But in Ferguson, Missouri, I think they'd have a different point of view.
And from my point of view, if I could say, Mr. Aaron?
Go ahead, Dave.
From my point of view, to go into a community without first understanding the community and blowing a bugle and going, hey, and all that, man, you look like a dumb ass. You know, it's weird, you know? It's just weird.
I can tell you something right now, Dave. As a police officer, you're going to find this out. Weird needs to be your middle name in a lot of different ways.
I don't doubt that it's your middle name.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Don't doubt it. That's pretty good.
Go ahead, get your laughs off and get your little tickles and giggles off. But you better be, God, how I so wish I lived up in San Francisco. I got a friend of mine up there in the Sea Lion Service, which is our local Citizens Auxiliary Police up there.
Wait, what's it called?
It's called Sea Lion Service.
The Sea Lion Service? What does that mean, man? They got to dress up like sea lion or something?
What does it mean? Do they have to go out and police the sea lions? Why is anyone laughing?
I want to ask the question, what does that mean?
What does it mean? That's the name of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in San Francisco, called the Sea Lion Service. If you elevate yourself to Sea Lion Service, that's, God, you never heard of that?
No, I never heard of, who would ever hear of that? Who's ever heard of you? I thought it was called the Bay Area Battalion.
Yeah, that's what we thought when you guys had that oil spill.
Well, I don't know, the Bay Area Battalion, that was started up in Marin. Well, I should say down in Marin, they're just a little bit south of us. Yeah, they blew it. We had to go in. We had to get their colors. We rode in and grabbed their colors.
What do you mean you rode in and grabbed their colors?
Like a bike gang or something like that? Just took their colors away from them and told them we had control of the area. So right now it's the Sea Lion Service, and those are the people that would be on the way to your home, Mr. Wheeler, you know, to check you out. And in my opinion, I think you need some checking out.
There's no doubt you'd like to check me out. What does that mean? Okay, Mr. Aaron, I got to go into class. These guys sound like they're perved out or something.
I'm not perved out. I like students and I like the community. It's Mr. Santos who has been perving it. I didn't perve anything out. You're the guy sitting there all about sucking on a bugle and everything.
I didn't say about sucking on a bugle. I said what kind of police protection would I have in my community if I were attacked? Would I have to endure you blowing into town, scaring everyone? Or would I have to have my wife, Emeralda, you know, do that?
Bud!
And do it!
No, that was me doing it.
All right, hold the line here, gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind. I think we're losing Dave. Dave, I appreciate that. Dean Wheeler is going to stay with Jay Santos.
Jay, I think, is leaving as well.
Hey, sir, give me the phone. Santos. Yeah, this is General Shaw. Who'd you think it was, your mama? Hey, Santos, are you staying on the phone? Good.
Yeah, you...
Don't talk to him like, hey, Jay. Jay, hello?
Hey, hold on. Jay? Yeah, Phil wants to talk to you.
Well, where... Hey, Jay? Jay, hello?
Where is he? Give me the phone. Jay, Phil wants to... Yeah, here's Phil.
Where'd you go, man? Jay? Jay, where is he?
Sorry, I got the wrong button pushed. Give me this.
Jay, are you leaving?
He hung up.
Henry, I swear to God, it's a damn good thing Dickman's better at using a phone than you.
What do you mean Dickman's better at using the phone than me? I'm talking to you. You're talking to him. Then I get the phone and he ain't there.
Phil, apparently you were hitting the wrong button.
Well, I was, but same difference.
Yeah, that's right. Same difference. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show. We have a bit of a short show today due to work commitments, but we do have one more segment with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. That is his ashram up there. Here's Woven War. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
It's the World of Phil Henry is coming to the Irvine Improv. If you don't have tickets for that, friend, you don't have a ticket to heaven. I'm General Galen Shaw. Your move.
50% off all digital downloads at the Phil Henry online store this week. 50% off on all of them, man. Now's your time to load up. Yes. Yee-hoo! Henry Show. They are right now on CNN. They have a cell phone video. St. Louis police confronting a man who was eventually shot. They thought perhaps the guy was armed, was dangerous. They also thought the guy might be mentally unstable. I think if you're coming at a cop who has a gun on you, there's something wrong with you. Definitely. And I would also say if there's something wrong with you, it's probably not a very good idea for the cop. And I don't know. I don't train cops. You know, To second guess a police officer in a life and death situation, you have to have been in that situation yourself, or you've trained police, or you're very, very close to a daily work situation that involves that. The citizenry saying this or that, we have to really get a good base of information before we start adding our opinion to it. You sound stupid, especially some of these people are talking about, you know, what were they saying? They're shooting to wound?
Well, I don't know. If you can shoot to wing someone, I've seen... Now, Phil, don't say anything. I understand I'm in the entertainment business. I know that my husband is a film. Yeah, thank you, bud, a film producer. But I would say that you have seen... Look, how many movies could possibly be wrong about that?
Oh, my God. You trying to tell me?
You know, look, Gray, before you make a real jungle bunny out of yourself, you know...
Watch that jungle bunny stuff.
I'm talking about a monkey.
No, that's a racist term.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's racist, General. I'm surprised.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought it meant monkey.
No, it doesn't mean monkey. It's a racist term.
All right, before you make... You give me another run at it?
Come on, General. You've been around long enough to know. That's racism, man.
I was saying it to a white lady.
Yeah, I'll be saying it before she makes herself a black woman.
All right. Look, General, I'm going to take you at your word that you thought Jungle Bunny meant monkey.
I swear to God. I swear to Almighty God. Does that make you happy?
No.
How about if I buy you breakfast?
All right.
Jesus, so you bought pretty cheap.
Well, I mean, Miss Olson?
Yeah. Mrs. Olson's all the trimmings.
What about me?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, that sounds great. You don't have to buy me breakfast, but can I go with you guys?
Not really.
All right.
Well, wow, you don't even want the host of the show with you, huh?
No, I don't. I'm going to be talking to these two guys, and I don't need Henry's big fat nose being stuck in the middle of it.
All right, fine. God. So anyway, Margaret, whatever you were saying, I agree and I disagree. Now, let's get to Dean Wheeler. Who's on the line.
You were talking, Phil, about the police that were shooting an unarmed man who might be mentally unstable, and I was about to agree with you, Wu, and then I said that, oh, now I know. In the movies, you have seen the police wing people or shoot to wound.
Yeah, in the movies.
All right, before you start putting down our very hardworking filmmakers, actors, and production people, a great deal of research goes into those films, Phil. Don't you think that it's possible...
Now, wait a minute.
Hold on, General. We're not talking with you right now. This is Phil and I. I know you're a professional. But this is one citizen to another. You're telling me that a police officer could not be trained... Excuse me.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Got acid reflux?
Yes, I got acid reflux. God, bud, screaming into my ear. God almighty, my ears are already ringing from whatever disease I've got.
Maybe you caught whatever Frank's got, making him think that a man is a she is a woman, and a he is a she.
What?
All right, so what's your point?
My point, Phil, could you scrunch your face up when you say that? You're so ugly. You're so unattractive, Phil.
Yeah. What's your point?
My point is, are you saying that you can't shoot the wound?
That's exactly... I'm saying that you don't... You could put a man in danger of his life. In the real world, you could put a couple of slugs in someone thinking you're wounding him, and he may still be coming after you.
But
do you think the guy is, man? Like in a science fiction movie?
No, I'm not talking about a science fiction movie. I'm telling you from real life stories that I've heard from police officers, you could put a couple of slugs in a guy, the guy's still coming at you. If he's got a gun, you shoot the wound and that guy still gets a shot off? What are you talking about?
I'm not talking about if he has a gun. I'm talking about if he isn't armed.
If he's not armed, and he simply has, and he's simply making a menacing moves towards you, I don't know what the rules state, but I do know one thing. These things are based upon real-life experience of police officers. If a guy uses deadly force against a guy that doesn't look like he has a weapon on him, the guy has either been badly trained, or he has badly executed what it was he was trained to do, or there was some real-life instance that all of this training, or maybe more than one real-life instance that all of this training is based upon, where an officer was killed or was badly injured by someone who didn't appear to be armed, and maybe wasn't armed, but just was physically able to overcome or otherwise get the weapon away from the cop. I mean, all kinds of things have happened in the 100-plus years history of Metropolitan Municipal Police Forces, as well as all the other paramilitary units that we have operating around the world. So I don't know. How do I know? It looks like it's bad when an unarmed guy gets shot, just like this young man in Ferguson. I can tell you that from the eyewitness reports of what was happening here, this kid was moving away from the cop. I haven't heard any credible eyewitness account saying the kid was racing toward the cop. I've heard people saying that he was standing his ground, maybe, or he was, when I say standing his ground.
Look, Phil, you know, you're not a cop, and you're making a whole bunch of jazz. You know what? You sound like that horn that Dickman was blowing.
Yeah, Phil, just give, you know, quit while you're ahead.
What do you mean quit while I'm ahead?
You quit while you're ahead, Sammy. You ain't making no sense.
Henry, you sound like that. You sound like a busted horn, you know that? And what I'm trying to say...
What do you mean a busted horn? I'm not making any sense.
No, you're not. Those police officers have to do what they gotta do, and they're gonna do it, and you better believe they'll do it when they do it.
Well, now there's something that makes a lot of sense.
Well...
Anyway, every time I see this Foley kneeling in the desert with that big, stupid-looking asshole standing next to him with that tilted head, boy, I hope they find that guy. And when they do, put a bullet in him. Don't even ask questions. Just put a bullet right through that guy's head. If ever a guy deserved to die on the spot, it's that guy with the hood.
Yes, Phil, we agree. God almighty.
Yeah, you're getting all worked up about it.
Damn right I'm getting worked up about it. We got that going on over there. We got this young man who was shot in Ferguson. I don't know. Things are chilling out, though, in Ferguson, so we all finished with that story because I think we can move on to something else, at least. I just don't see where we're going to be doing ourselves any good. Thank you very, very much, Jay Santa. Is Dean Wheeler still on the line with us?
Yes, Dean is over on line two.
Sorry, Dean. You know, we were sort of wrapping up and discussing. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil. Being on hold here, I've been able to listen to some music and to do my deep breathing exercises. Are you now done with the entire Ferguson topic?
Yeah, well, I am, sort of, unless there's anything you wanted to add.
No, not really. I just wanted to let people know that we are at our holistic center here in Northern California. We are doing our morning irrigations. We're doing our what we call the blowout. It is a yoga class.
Well, wait, hold on, Wheeler. Are you doing a commercial here?
Yeah, if you want to talk about what's going on up there at the Holistic Center, that's fine, or Man Camp, but I thought we were going to talk about Ferguson.
Well, I don't want to talk about Ferguson anymore. You said you were done. Are you done talking about Ferguson?
Yeah, we are. I apologize.
All right, then can I get in a plug for the yoga classes?
Okay, fine.
Well, I don't want to bore you. Forget it, then.
You made him cry.
Oh, did I make him cry? I hope he weeps himself into a heart attack. How about that, Jay? Hey.
See this? Mr. Henry.
What?
See this?
More British Muslims fight for Islamic State than Britain. Yeah, I know. I saw that on Twitter yesterday, and I said bullshit to it.
Yeah, well, now they're saying it's true.
I don't care. I don't care what they're saying. You know, there's certain things, it's very, where do they get their information? What do you mean more British Muslims are fighting in ISIS that are in the British military? How do they know how many British Muslims are in ISIS? How do they know how many of those guys are Muslims as opposed to just dumbass limeys that decide to join up because they want to go off and have an adventure cutting off heads?
Man, that's a good point, man. I can't see how you say Muslim or Christian, how a man go around chopping heads off, stuff like that.
You sound just like that guy that was in that movie Platoon. Remember that?
It's Platoon, you knucklehead.
Oh, I see. It's Platoon, not Platoon. Hey, so what are you trying to say here with this story?
I'm saying you was wrong yesterday.
According to this article, maybe I was. But I still don't buy it. You know, there's an awful lot of this anecdotal bullshit that floats around, man. It sometimes flips me out.
What do you mean anecdotal? You're telling me that people are just telling stories in a barroom someplace, and they're coming up with this gobbledygook? Come on, Henry.
I'm telling you that after a while, we find out that it's not true. They might report. This is a story from what newspaper?
USA Today.
USA Today, huh? They can report that. Look at this. It is likely that there are now more British Muslims fighting for the Islamic State than for Britain's military. The headline said more British Muslims fight for Islamic State than Britain.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. This is what I'm trying to say, okay?
No, Phil, you were saved at the last minute by that first line.
Yeah, it looks to me, Henry, like you got lucky.
I didn't get lucky at all. I'm telling you, yesterday and today, when I heard that headline, when I read the headline and heard the news,
did you hear the news or read it?
I read it, okay?
What do you mean you heard it?
I read it. When I read the headline, and I remember thinking, how do they, what census, what research are they really basing that on? It sounds like something that has been put together by a number of reports. It's, in other words, it was put together by a number of journalists, a series of reports or a series of comments made that has suddenly coalesced into a news article that has gone from it's possible to it's likely to now yes, there are. You know, there is who, what, when, where, why. And then there is rumor. There's the reporting of facts, and then there's the reporting of rumor. There is the actual eyewitness event, the eyewitness account, and then there's the anecdotal. There is witness to history, and then there is history. Do you understand? Finally!
Jesus Christ.
Phil!
Well, I'm getting sick of this. Trying to teach you guys this.
Yeah, but Mr. Henry, why'd you go yelling everything?
Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, quit crying. There's a big difference between what some guy assumes and what is the actual fact of the matter. Now, I know that not in every instance one can cite the concrete evidence, even though it probably exists or may exist, or maybe it doesn't exist. But I know that as just a person in the world offering an opinion, it's not always possible to have the evidence at hand. But it is possible to cite reports that do have the evidence at hand. And then it is possible to cite reports that don't have evidence at hand. They have anecdotal or a secondhand opinion. Now, here we have this article in USA Today. And when I say history as opposed to witness to history...
Well, I understand, Phil, that you're talking about one that witnessed the history and then a period of time when there is no witness to history.
What are you people? You know something, Henry? What do you think you're running here, huh? The National Go-Go Graphic? You know?
Yeah, we did. It's the National Go-Go Graphic.
Oh, the National Go-Go Graphic. I didn't know that.
What's the name of the magazine?
Talk about National Geographic.
All right, National Geographic. Is that what you think you're doing?
How about National Geographic? You want to take a shot at that one?
Well, all right. You know what, Phil? Why don't you go host yourself a TV show on the Public Banana Channel, whatever that is.
The Public Banana Channel? That's the second one now. You said Jungle Bunny, and now you're saying the Public Banana Channel.
What's racist about the Public Banana Channel? I'm saying any guy that watches that is some kind of a monkey in a tree, regardless of the color of their skin or paws. Excuse me.
Okay, General, you tell me!
I'm getting sick and tired of you people giving me a line of crap. When I tried to play a bugle, you guys are looking at me like I've got my lips wrapped around one morning, noon, and night. Fuck it. You heard the laugh, Phil.
All right, I mean, that's, you know, sorry, General. I didn't mean to piss you off. There goes General Galen Shaw, and obviously we have, you know...
Pissed him off?
Yeah. All right, before we leave you, let me just read this. It is likely there are now more British Muslims fighting for the Islamic State than for Britain's military. Is it really likely? A minute ago here, Kim Jalmagard, you said it was a fact. Britain's Ministry of Defense confirmed to USA Today that there are approximately 600 British Muslim service members... in its armed forces of almost 200,000, 600. Official government estimates put the number of British Islamic State fighters operating in Syria and Iraq at 500 to 800. The Foreign Office cautioned Thursday that it's difficult to provide precise numbers. No shit. The militant who beheaded American journalist James Foley in a horrifying video released this week spoke with a British accent, United Kingdom foreign. And when you look at this, I'm telling you again, you look at a big dumb lummox like this. I look at a guy like that and he's got a hood on. My instinct is to knock a guy like that on his ass with whatever I've got handy, like a baseball bat or a steam shovel or a bar stool, okay? But when I see the guy walking around with a hood on, man, no questions need to be asked. You just dispatch that guy with no fuss, no muss efficiency.
Let me look at that. He does look rather frightening.
He looks like an idiot. He looks like the kind of a guy that the ISIS, or whatever the scumbag organization is called, would recruit, because he probably can cut heads off without any emotion whatsoever, and he just happens to be some slob that comes from Great Britain. What if the guy had an American accent, man? That would have been, I mean, I swear to God, if Obama didn't send in the Marines, and I mean like 5-6 divisions of them, right on, if that, we got the information that this guy was an American, I think it would have been enough to send troops back into Iraq.
Are you kidding me? All that we've done to get the troops home, to bring our boys home, and out of that Vietnam in the making.
Oh yeah, Vietnam in the making. Khalid Mahmood, a member of parliament from an area with a high proportion of Muslim residents, said government estimates of the number of British IS fighters currently in the Mideast is far too conservative. He told Newsweek magazine this week that at least 1,500 extremists are likely to have been recruited to fight in Iraq and Syria over the last 3 years. There's an unacceptable number of Britons fighting for jihadist forces, he said. A researcher at Royal United Services Institute in London said many young men facing poor job prospects in the UK find the IS narrative of defending Islam hard to resist. Americans who are radicalized have a long way to go to join the fray, but Syria and Iraq are relatively accessible from England. These people can go. Look, this is another one of these arguments that is, it stands to reason, and I don't accept the it stands to reason.
What a bigot.
That old fellow, you can't be that close-minded.
What do you mean a bigot?
You just tear it up because it just doesn't make sense to you. Phil.
No, Margaret, if it doesn't make sense, it's because the logic of the thing is one thing. And it may be logical that something should be a certain way. But until I happen to know it for a fact, you got a guy here, well, it's far too, you know, there's this and that. And I think that this is all opinion. This is all opinion. It is not fact. Period. I'll bet you the British that they have fighting in ISIS, okay, there could be a conglomeration of them. There could be mercenaries, guys who just like to fight, guys who just enjoy the sting of battle, if you will. And there are people like that, folks, you know. And when I say mercenary, I don't know. I don't know if they're getting paid or if it's just the fact that they have a place to go, a place to be somebody, that they don't have to kowtow to the British authorities or to a British society. And yeah, then there may be some Muslims. There may be some Christians who feel like they're in common cause with the Muslims. I don't know. But don't give me this bullshit about how it is now a fact that there are more. And that's what I'm telling you, and that's what I keep trying to teach you, and that's what I will continue to try to teach you till death do us part. Okay? Understand? Real good. All right, world famous.
Well, I guess Daddy has spoken, huh?
Yeah, Mr. Gary, you don't have the facts on your side any more than the facts is on the other side.
I don't care whether I have the facts. I don't need to have the facts on my side. This guy needs to have the facts on his side, the guy that wrote the article. Don't you understand, man? I don't have to have the facts on my side.
Wait a minute. You don't, but he does. Why?
Because he's the guy that wrote the article, man. He's the guy that's got to come up with this stuff. He's the guy that's got to say, hey, okay, here are the facts as I understand them. Here are the facts as I understand them. Here's what I think is going on here. Here's what I think is, you know. Here's what I think is going on. And I think that until such time, what happened to the Tupac song we want to play?
Got to go down into number two.
Oh, the number two. I'm spelling it with T. Oh, okay, sorry. It is number two. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Don't forget to go to our Irvine Improv website and pick up a couple of tickets to The World of Phil Hendry, Truth is Our Bitch, An Explosion of Weird, September the 11th at the Irvine Improv.
It is The World of Phil Hendry, executive produced by Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network.
I'm General Galen Shaw. I think Henry is full of crap. From the top of his head down to his flat feet. Move on me.
What?
God, I hate you. Until then, raise up to my young black man's blood.
stress, test. I'm giving up and get